Previously on Cartoons That Curse.
What the f*** is up, everybody? Welcome back to Cartoons That Curse.
Burt Reynolds is a great character.
Him really rad.
One of my favorite runners that I didn't realize was introduced until this season was elaborate voicemail hoax.
The voice notes in this entire season are gross.
And then Pam literally just becomes like a Hulk, basically. Yeah. And is one of those last lines in the episode is Krieger being like, "For the love of God, seal the exits."
When he's like recording the notes to himself, he's like, "One is still at large." And like, there's just a big hole in the door.
My first note on this episode is, this is such a good episode. That's the first thing I wrote down. It's like, this is so good. This might be the end of the first half of our episode.
I've been watching them for years. It's always been something that fit with all the animated characters that's doing their own bits. With a fry who's in the future and a Family Guy that sucks. With a father from a hill, a burger family runs amok. The show with spies is the same guy, except he totally say f***. End of verse.
Let's watch Cartoons That Curse.
Bloody Ferlin. This is a good Ray backstory episode. I love that. Where we get Ray and Archer go back to Ray's hometown, and we meet Ray's brother. And like all these hometown, the hometown sheriff where he grew up in Ferlin. Where is this again? I don't remember what state.
I don't remember.
North either, Carolina, actually. South Carolina, something like that. I don't know. But really good casting. Jack McBrayer is playing Ray's brother.
Fam, so I didn't know how to spell his last name. So in my notes, I wrote, "Is that Fix-It Felix?"
It sure is. It sure is Fix-It Felix.
I knew his name was Jack, but I didn't know how to spell his last name, so I wrote, "Is that Fisic Felix?"
And it's definitely it is, and he's really good. He's really good in this episode.
He is really
good. This is another one where, you know, I feel like I don't have as much to say about this episode, but I do love that this is another one that's just a new setting. Like I've talked about this in the previous seasons that we've talked about, but like when they just move it to a completely new type of place, I feel like it goes a long way for me to like keep me pretty engaged. It's a cool like Archer out of like as a fish out of water, I think is fun.
Right.
But yeah, it's also, I don't know, this episode I think didn't stand out to me as much as some of the other ones this season. Even though I think there's a lot of fun Ray moments, it does feel like it's constantly hinging on the like, I feel like so much of the tension and comedy is just stemming from like, is Ray's family going to find out he's gay? Like it feels like that is just constantly the thing that's happening in this episode.
Yeah, I definitely, this is like one of my middle ones. Definitely. I like Ray's family, at least the portion that we meet, like, and I think a lot of stuff is really fun. Lana says that Ray pretended to be handicapped for 6 months, which would kind of imply that each one of the past episodes this season took place a month apart.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
I guess that kind of makes sense. Like, I guess if each season is around 13 episodes and it all takes place over a year... Although, you know, there's obviously some that take place immediately after, like you've got 2-part episodes, but that I guess that kind of makes sense where they're like, oh, yeah, let's like this is just 1 year. It's 1 year of time. And they're not as precious about the timeline itself. You know what I mean? Like shows like BoJack do a really good job, like keeping track of exactly where in the year everything takes place, like where like when does New Year happen? When is, you know, when, what holidays are when, you know, it's like, it's really keeping track of the year.
Yeah, I think
whereas this one is kind of just, right. Exactly. This one is less of that, more of, this is the amount of time that has passed, but we're not really going to draw that much attention to it within the timeline of the show itself. Right.
Right. Yeah.
Other than for instances like this, I guess, but, that is crazy though that they just had him fake it the whole time. That's pretty wild, especially because like didn't Krieger had like a whole ramp installed in his van. Like,
yeah, it's like, and
he's that going
means,
all in.
That would mean that he purposefully like slowed down all of that Burt Reynolds shit, like when he
right
when he had to get
he
like
just didn't
in
care
a,
about it. Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty interesting. Yeah, I don't know. I don't have that much to say about this episode overall, though. You got anything about Bloody Ferlin?
Only other thing that I have. Okay, so I have two things. I have one line. Archer says, after Race says that Cheryl was going to be his wife, Archer says, I'll drive if you want to hop back there and enter her. I thought enter was a crazy way. Of just saying.
Oh my
sex.
God. I didn't even remember that. Also, the way that Cheryl was just so into it immediately was very
right.
Cheryl.
Yeah. Yeah. What's the other one I have? The cop at the end, the cop coming on to Ray is really funny, and Ray just kind of
love
asking,
that.
The,
oh my
Ray
God.
Asking, like, this was, do I just call 911? It's a good
that was
read.
Such a good twist, though, because it's like his bully. It's like his high school bully or whatever. And mm-hmm. then the reveal at the end that he's just like, oh, he's into you. He's
yeah,
real into
that.
You. That's good. That's a good moment. Oh, it's good stuff. All right. Well, let's move on. Let's move on to the next episode, which is, I guess, the, I'm going to say seventh. Seventh in this episode of our podcast, but 10th. 10th in the season. Crossing Over is what it's called. And this is when Archer and Pam finally bang.
Yeah.
it happens. It
that
finally
was like, that was
happens.
Like my first note. I can't even count how many exclamation points after that. It's like 8.
Yeah, my first note is Archer and Pam banging is the best.
My second note is sex with Pam clearly rules.
It has
Archer,
to.
Archer becomes addicted for the rest of the season.
I also love that like Pam's super into it and keeps banging Archer, but throughout the rest of the season, she's pretty critical of his sex skills.
No,
like, like, that was...
it starts here too. Archer clearly is enjoying it way more than she
right.
is.
Yeah. It's actually one of my old, we'll get there when we get there because this episode's got a lot going on. But this also brings back Barry, who is now just like the head of the KGB, apparently.
Right.
And you've got the whole Nikolai Jakov defecting thing. And then I love that. I love what they do with that and Mallory, where it's like, oh, he wants to defect and he wants to move in with Mallory. But Mallory's like, but I'm dating Burt Reynolds. Like, I don't want Nikolai Jakov to move in with me. Mm-hmm. There's some really funny Burt Reynolds meta humor there where they're basically just like... basically just talking around the fact that they can't get Burt Reynolds to be in every
yeah.
episode.
Yeah. It's like, so you like see him though, right? Like
right. And then I love that I like the Archer and Jakov scenes. The Archer and Nikolai Jakov scenes are really nice where they're drinking together and they're just like bonding and
love
it's
it.
Like and it's like, oh shit, like this is more there's like another time this season where they kind of do the like Archer and Archer's father thing, Archer not having a father figure
yeah.
situation.
When he died, it did really bum me out because he was fucking fun. He was fun every time he was around on the show. So
he
I was like, fuck.
Exactly. And like, yeah, the fact that they kill him off and like we still don't really have any answer. Mm-hmm. I don't think even to this day we have an answer for who Archer's dad is. It's kind of just like it could be these people. But the fact that while he was dying, he was like, he left a video to Archer and, but also through the words that he was saying, it's seemingly implying that he may or may not be, he doesn't know if he's his father or not, you know? I think the last thing he says before the explosion or whatever is like, not everything is what it seems or whatever. Which is interesting. I don't know. It's just a really interesting dynamic there where they're like both understand and know that they could be related to each other, but aren't sure about it. But they
right.
still kind of have this somewhat familial relationship building and brewing, you know? And then the way that he is so bummed out at the end when he finds out that that he was killed by Barry
right.
is like shockingly emotional. Like it's a really
yeah.
good little moment.
Yeah, it is. It's a good moment. It's like sandwiched between like a really, I think it's a funny joke when they're like fed up with the voicemails. So like Archer says like, "Mother, it is 7:31 p.m. Like, even though I wish they were, my voicemails are not this elaborate. Like, right. You know what I mean? Like,
he has to convince them that he's actually there.
But yeah, this is it was a genuine moment. I love how they did it, because like all you really hear Mallory say is Sterling, and then the rest is Archer's like face, and he's just kind of like, okay,
yep,
all right, like, you know what I mean, like that kind of thing. I thought that was a brilliant way to put that together, and it's a good like reflection. He's just kind of like, fuck, this is my fault, you know what I mean? And nobody, right. And that's what, you know what I liked about it though, is that like everybody, even though like, yeah, he was doing that bit saying like, oh, this is my voicemail, you can see on everybody's face that this is like a real moment, and they all feel bad. And
totally.
Nobody blames him. Like, Mallory right. doesn't call, say, Sterling, why didn't you, you know what I mean? Like, they don't do
yeah,
that.
They know that it's gonna mess him up. You know,
right.
Yeah. It's, and you know, it's interesting, and I'm thinking about right now, and I don't know, maybe it's just because the nature of these shows are different, but one thing we've talked about in the past with Rick and Morty a lot is how they, mm-hmm. they're very persistently undercutting the emotional moments with a joke. And right. they do that in this show a lot too. In this one, yes. a great, great, hilarious ending beat where he's like all emotional over the person who might've been his dad dying. And then like, Pam is just like, starts talking shit about his sex, like, you are pushing rope, which yeah, is yeah, yeah. so funny. But,
pushing rope is crazy. Pam
so
says
funny.
Early in the episode, she says, "said, but this time, get in there. All you've been doing is giving one side hell."
Yeah. It's great, but it's funny. Like, I don't know why that. I'm more forgiving of this show for doing that than I am something like Rick and Morty. And I don't know why.
You know what it is? It's because every time they do an emotional beat in this show, like, there isn't a moment in this show that is like when, like the Rick and Unity stuff where he like tries to kill himself. There's
right,
nothing
true.
Like that here. Like everything right. when in Rick and Morty, they like, because Archer grabs you and takes you to a real place, but mm-hmm. Rick and Morty drags you to a real place and then tries to get you to think, and then says, oh, wait, never mind. This is all
right.
stupid. Nothing matters. And I think yeah. that's why, like, for me, I'm like, I don't... It's cool sometimes, but...
And I guess Rick and Morty did establish relatively early, especially with, like, Rick Potion number 9, where it was like, oh, the end of the episodes can just linger on the emotion. Like, that's a mm-hmm. thing we're going to do. Archer has never been that. Archer,
always
every episode ends with a punchline. Every mm-hmm. episode. So you're kind of expecting it. It would be weird not to do it.
Right.
Even like, you know, when his fiance dies and he's wailing in pain and it mm-hmm. ends with, that's my van, you know?
Like, it's, right, yeah.
it's, yeah, you're right. I think that does make sense. All right, I'm glad we talked through that. I get it.
Yeah.
Good episode. I really like Crossing Over. I think it's really good.
I
really, I really like that emotional stuff they do with Archer and Jackov. I really love the Archer and Pam stuff. Yeah, great. That's a great one. I'm a fan. I'm a big fan. But let's move on.
Yeah,
let's move on to another pretty emotional episode. Skin Game. This starts off pretty crazy with Krieger revealing that he's turned Katja into a cyborg,
which is dumb, but it is really nice.
It's dumb and nice, and also yeah. very fitting with this weird world in mm-hmm. which Archer exists, where we already have a bionic Barry.
Right. So that's why I didn't,
and
it didn't
right
like, fucking like, why are they doing that? Like, you know what I mean? It was just kind of like, okay.
I also love the Rush humor, the band Rush, where he walks in and he sees Krieger's like huge, ridiculous drum set. And he's just like, is this so you can play XYZ? And he's like, it's XYZ. And no, it's impossible. He's just like, I can't do it. That's really good joke. It's really funny. Also, I mean, like, it's like this episode hurts. This episode kind of hurts because, like, the Katya thing was so emotional at the end of the last season. And then he gets her back and they go through all this stuff. But they're like, there's like obviously this new stuff they have to deal with as a couple. But like, you still feel how much Archer loves Katya in this. Absolutely. You know what I mean? It still feels this like a continuation of the last time we saw Katya. And then for it to end with his bitter rival becoming her new, like her new lover, is like, and it then, hurts.
And then they pretty much tell you that it doesn't work out because they do the graduate at the end. And I think that kind of makes it even worse.
That's right. They do the graduate ending. They do the graduate ending.
They do the graduate ending. And that kind of makes it worse to know that, like, she gave Archer up literally for, like, that one moment. And then she, like, she stood on that. And then, like, even though, yeah, like, they're clearly parodying the graduate, like, it's still kind of like, fuck, this...
Yeah, there's implications when you parody The Graduate. You know,
there actually are, man.
Yeah, like, I mean, when The Simpsons did it, a lot. When The Simpsons did it, that was the point too. You know, when with Abe and Marge's mom. What's Marge's mom's name? I know the episode's called Lady Bouvier's. It's called Lady Bouvier's Lover.
Yeah. Is that the one Simpsons thing I don't know?
Jacqueline? How did I just?
I literally said Jacqueline in my, like,
did you?
You can run the tape back. I literally was about to say I feel like it's, and then you said Jacqueline right when I was about to speak.
Yeah. So like that is a good point. Like I think that's maybe the implication. Although I don't remember Barry. I mean, Barry obviously comes back in Space Race Part Two, and they do like kind of the phone call, the one-sided phone call with Katya. But I don't remember Katya or Barry coming back again after this. And I don't know if they don't come back or if I just don't remember it. You know what I mean? Or if something that I haven't seen. So it'll be interesting to see.
It's been way too many years since I've watched those. So it's been like maybe 5 or 4 years since I watched the whole show, but I don't remember it either.
I'm finally getting pretty like invested. I kind of wanted to throw on season 4 right after I finished season 3. I was like, I want to keep going, because right now we're also starting to get close to the part where it's part stuff that I haven't seen. Well, not really that close. We're only a season 3 seasons deep, but Vice is coming up. I'm very stoked about Vice.
I texted you about Vice. I was watching this, and I just kept thinking about Vice for some reason. Because I think it's really rad that that Pam loses weight throughout Vice, and you don't notice until the reason is brought up.
Yeah, it's just because she's addicted to cocaine the whole season.
Yeah, I love it, man. Because
they're just a drug cartel. They just turn into a drug cartel for a season.
She's in that body cast, and it's
all
coke.
That's right. Oh, my God. That's fucking crazy.
Yeah.
There's a couple bits that I really like in this episode. One is when they're doing the makeshift wedding, and Cyril's the best man, and he's and Archer's just like, bull, best available, and Cyril immediately fights back, which I like. Like, Cyril's getting pretty confident and like confident himself, and he says, name one other friend of yours. It's like, yeah, good point, dude. Archer has no fucking friends.
Why did I forget her name that fast? What's the wife's name again?
Katya.
Katya, right. She does the second come at me, bro, this season.
That's right.
When her and Archer are in the elevator.
I forgot about that. This, and like, speaking of that, the cyborg fight, pretty fucking cool.
Yeah, man, that thing is rad. It's animated really well. Yeah.
It's really cool what they do with that. Like the motion blur and the like really fast. It's like, it's definitely shit that you couldn't imagine them doing in season one. Like, it's really cool. I also like that they just like continue to dress. They continue to dress. What's it called? They dress up Barry as the $6 million man ever since he became a cyborg. Like, that's just his outfit. He's just the $6 million man, which is pretty funny. But it's yeah, this is a good, it's a good sad episode. I like it. Like, yeah, I really like this one. It's a good one. It's kind of like a pretty, it's like a doubly heartbreaking ending after the last one was heartbreaking. You know what I mean? And, you know, she's not dead at least, which is nice, but it's a sad, sad ending. It made me sad. I felt bad at the end of this one. Yeah.
I guess you're,
even though it's like nice to see Archer kind of being like acknowledging that he's going to be happy for her, that she's found happy.
Right.
You know?
Which I
That's
wasn't,
nice.
I wasn't even expecting, honestly.
Right.
But I did really like that. They give him some growth, man. They give him some growth in a lot of these ones this year.
And especially, yeah, this season really does it. It's crazy.
Especially, we're literally right on the head of Space Race, but the tail end of the second one, like, they give him that, and that's fucking rad. You know
it's
what I mean?
Really
like,
good.
I like that a lot. I like that a lot.
It's really, really good. So let's just get into Space Race.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's get to Space Race.
Space Race, we'll just talk about them both. It's two parts, even though they are kind of separate. The first one is them preparing to go into space, and the second one is them in space, pretty much.
Right.
But great guest star, Bryan Cranston, is the guy who's taking them into space and goes in with them. I like, retro space stuff is so cool. So I like that they started doing space stuff in this. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like with this weird retro style of Archer, to bring in like space stuff. I think that's a particularly cool aesthetic. Although, admittedly, those guns are just Halo rifles. Those are just the rifles from Halo. Like, straight up. They look exactly like them. I'm pretty sure it's the same exact thing. But yeah, this is a really cool two-parter. I've always really liked this two-parter. How do you feel about Space Race? You into it?
I like these. I do like these. They're both of them are like on top of each other in my ranking. They're like in the middle, in this season for me. But I do like these. I like them. I think I like them in space more than I like them preparing to get to space.
Agreed.
The stuff when they're training, and Lana keeps throwing up, the vomit in Archer looks more gross than any other cartoon I've seen in my entire life. And I think part of it has to come from the fact that these are real human beings. Like, they look like people. So
that's
like, it's
true.
Like, that shit is gross.
That's true.
And I like, they do this really funny design thing. That is probably only funny to me, but like, Mallory is like too small for her suit, and I think that's so funny.
It's like right here. It's so funny. I love that so much. It's great. They barely even draw attention to it too. It's just
right.
It's just a thing.
Yeah, it's just a design thing. Yeah,
it's really funny. I feel the same way. I agree. I think. When they get to space, I really start to have fun with this one. And other than that, it's like, the first half is good. Like, I like them training is fun. Like, astronaut training is always a good conflict in cartoons. Like, they did, like, it worked well in The Simpsons. Like, I feel like I've seen that in a lot of shows where it's just like, you have to train to be an astronaut, which is rigorous, you know what I mean? And like,
yeah,
it's fun with this crew. Like, this crew is a good candidate for that.
Yeah, putting your characters in space is like one of those, like, because we, I feel like animation people talk about like recurring storytelling devices often, right? Like, they talk about like, we got to do the camping one. We got to do the body swap one. You know what I mean? Like, they talk about stuff like that. That's really common. But the space stuff is common, man. Like, they do it. They do it in Simpsons. They do it in Family Guy.
Right.
They do it here. They do it. I've seen it in, like, The Replacements. Like, they just, it happens, like, often. Yeah, you know, I did think, like, all that stuff was fine, and I thought it was good. Because, you know, like I said, to top of this one, that there isn't an episode this season that I don't like. There isn't one where,
same.
Like, yeah, there isn't one where I was like, okay, this is kind of boring. Like, none of them did that for me. They were all
I weirdly always remembered season two of Archer being my favorite. And I, on this rewatch, season three is definitely my favorite.
Yeah, I think this is my favorite we've watched so far, too.
It's so consistently great. The whole season.
Absolutely.
It's really good to the point where I'm like having a really hard time with my ranking because it's just a good fucking season of TV.
Man, I wonder if we have the same number one, because like when we were talking earlier, you were just so hyped for Space Race. And
right.
And I was like, man, I wonder how you're gonna feel about my number one. But like we talked about my number one. And we might be in agreement. Who knows?
Yeah, we'll see.
But yeah. Okay, I did have a question. Has Lana always? I guess she has, man. But has Lana always been this like insecure? Because she's like fucking nuts in like the second half of this. Like,
yeah, I do think they kind of built that in. Like, I feel like they did kind of build that in, but it does feel like it's being a little more pronounced this season.
Yeah, it was like man, the only way I know how to describe it is like it's like Fairly Odd Parents with at a certain point in the show they just fucking turn the dial up on like one character trait like for an episode. Like I guess Wanda nags people, but every once in a while for an episode, they'll turn it up to where she's like nagging everybody and niggas just like covering their ears and everything like that.
Right.
So like, yeah, when I was watching it, I'm like, what? Like, but I guess they, in a Heart of Archness, what do her and Ray argue about? Cause they argue about something.
They're arguing because he's basically convinced that she still has a thing for Archer.
Oh, that's what that is.
And that is like, and I think there's truth to it. And also like, it's definitely something she doesn't want to be true. You know what I mean? Like that's my read on it is that he's really getting to an actual thing that is going on with her, but she doesn't want to have to deal with him again. She like, I think it's a situation where she's like at odds with her head and heart. You know, it's like, I think she's into Archer. I think she's always kind of been into Archer, but she knows that that's a fucking dumb disaster mistake.
All right.
Yeah.
See, because I guess my reasoning for asking was because I was trying to piece together if he was asking her, if they were arguing about something that she was insecure about, but if you want to play semantics, I guess that could count, but not necessarily.
Right.
That's not really on the same plane as this. But yeah, that shit was a little jarring to me. And
yeah, I think that's fair.
Yeah, I was kind of like, oh, what's she doing? And then when like, man, I was debating not even saying anything about this, but I don't know how to feel when they like do these stories where like Lana's just like butt ass
naked the whole time.
Well, yeah, like I don't know how to. Because like,
yeah,
am I supposed to laugh? Like, I don't know if I'm supposed to like laugh. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's because it wasn't funny to me. But and even like even when she
I'm,
like when
I know I'm very attracted to Lana, but how else like, am even, I supposed to feel?
Even when like they're when they gotta like run through the door and she's like the last one, she has to squeeze through the door.
Like, right. That's not funny. Like, that was painful. Right. Like, I was like,
yeah.
Like,
I know.
Like,
the way they just put the space stickers on her nipples.
Yeah.
Like, so she doesn't even have, so she can use her arms freely and they don't have to cover her up. Anime.
Right. But yeah.
It's interesting that this show isn't one that just opted to blur. You know what I mean? Like, it feels like this would have been a show, because they do that a lot with a lot of characters, is like there's obviously every character in the whole show has been naked at this point. Every single character in the main cast, but they constantly have the girls like covering up, or like something's blocking the guy's groin area or something like that. They're always something that this physically blocking it. But it feels like Archer is a show that could have gotten away with animating it fully nude and just blurring it on TV. And then maybe in the like DVD doing it uncensored. You know what I mean?
Man, you know what show does that? It's kind of gross. What show? Boondocks.
Does it really?
Yeah, if you watch like the uncensored Boondocks DVD, I think, I don't remember what episode it is. I just know it's in the first season. It might be the very first fucking episode of the show. But there's like the shot opens with like the granddad like doing like exercise, like TV aerobics, like butt ass naked. And like, there's like, you know, when you see that, like on Adult Swim, they got like the blur on it, you don't think much of it. You see that thing on DVD, boy, you see the Wang, bro. Like, it's Man. There. Like, that's, it's like, jeez.
It's so interesting. Like, so like a show like BoJack is a show that has plenty of sex and like nudity in it, but they always cover it up as though it were meant for TV. But then you have other shows on Netflix, like F is for Family or Big Mouth, which definitely don't.
Oh yeah.
None of it. And,
PD, Paradise PD,
full nudity. Bro, in that
I had to turn that shit off. I don't even want to, I think it,
have
opens,
you watched,
you gonna ask me if I watched Paradise PD?
No. I was gonna ask you if you'd seen something else, because I got another like pretty ridiculous pretty nude scene from one of these shows that I want to talk about. But you go first.
I was in Paradise PD. I had to turn the shit off. It was because like when it came out, I was like, this it can't be that. Everybody was trashing it online. I'm like, it can't be that bad. I went in with the most open mind possible. I was ready to tolerate anything, fam. The episode opens with like a backstory thing, trying to establish the characters, like the son and the dad who is also a cop, and like I think the mom and the dad are having sex, and I think this is what happens, man. I just know I had to turn it off. The kid like shoots one of the dad's nuts off. And I was like, all right,
that's the beginning of the first one, right?
Yeah, I was like,
I saw that. I watched exactly that scene, and then I stopped.
I had to turn it off. Like, I was, man, because F is for Family gets gross too. There's like that with they do it for a reason.
What I gotta bring up. Yes, okay, I was that. Yeah, this so is definitely what I was gonna bring up. The one where Bill's under the bed as his parents are having sex, and he just sees his dad's balls slapping, and it's honestly it's gross, but that scene is so brilliant. Because it's supposed to be traumatizing.
Exactly. They do it for a reason. They do it for that specific reason.
It's kind of fucking genius. Like, it's a really genuinely well-executed scene in, like, conveying the trauma that he is
absolutely
feeling. Yeah.
But and the reason I'm not, like, the reason I wasn't, like, up in arms about it when I saw it was because, like, number one, narratively is done for a reason. Number two, it's not the first episode of the series. Like, it's not the first scene. Like, it's not like the intro. Like, I think, like, you know, maybe, I don't know, they were like, man, fuck it, we about to, you know what I mean, we're gonna show them what we really about. We about to open with a punch. Like, I think that was their mindset. But like,
yeah, we're gonna set the tone. We gotta set the tone for Paradise PD.
Thank you for setting the tone and letting me know what you guys are gonna do. And I will remove myself. I will go that way.
So funny. All right. Well, let's finish up talking about Space Race. Good tangent about nudity in Netflix shows. Also our next miniseries, definitely Paradise PD now. So
gross. No. What's the Simpsons? Is that just the clip show? What's the one that ends the credits is just all the times characters were nude?
Oh, I don't know if I've seen that. I might not be a thing I've seen. So no.
damn it. What song do they play, man? I think they play like Shake Your Groove Thing or something. They play like some weird ass song.
That's so funny.
And then yeah, it's just I'm gonna send that to you. It's just every shot, it's just every scene of like the characters just like butt ass.
Hell yeah. So funny. The one big piece of nudity I remember specifically from The Simpsons is Ned's blurred giant wang.
Oh, it's so funny. Oh my God, that's so funny. Oh my God, that's so funny. That's one of my favorite jokes. So
oh
funny.
My God.
I thought you were going to bring up Natural Born Kissers.
Oh, right. These are both Scully era episodes, aren't they?
They are, yeah.
Yeah. Scully dialed up the nudity. Matt Selman. That was one of Matt Selman's first episode was Natural Born Kissers.
Yeah,
I think it was. Okay. It was one. I think it was one of his first episodes.
I know they. In that one you're talking about with Ned, that's the one where they try to get him to date again. I think they made him like a date video. Or something.
That's right. Is it the one where he's putting all the star wipes in it? And okay. Star wipe.
Why did I forget about that? Okay, yeah. All right. Yes.
It's great. Great. I love it. Natural Born Kissers is a Matt Selman episode. And that is that's the end of season 9, if I'm not mistaken, which is the season I'm currently watching through on my watch through. I'm in the midst of my Scully watch through for the first time in years. It has been wildly nostalgic as I expected. But like honestly, a lot of episodes I've really liked, truthfully. There's definitely been like tendencies that they have started to take a hold of that I'm like, oh, I don't like this as much as what the show had been previously. Uh-huh. But there's still just like every few episodes I'm like, really liked that one. Really liked that one.
I think season
9
is really funny. I do stuff yeah. think. I think and we've talked about this before, but just the episodes that people like it's like I don't.
Dude, Principal and the Pauper is a good episode.
Funny. I love Principal. Sorry. It's so funny. I don't like the Armin Tanzarian stuff. In theory, I guess
whatever.
I don't like it. But like,
yeah, I guess
it's a good episode of TV.
That's the
like,
thing.
It's
like,
still good.
I don't know if like The Simpsons is the show to get caught up in continuity about. You know what
no,
I mean?
Absolutely not.
It's fun to break that stuff down and figure it out. But the reality is that that's like a really interesting idea for an episode. I think it's fun. I think it's a interesting, fun episode. And you know what? Like they never really ever call him Armin Tamzarian again, other than in joke form a couple times.
Right.
So like, it's just a thing you can pretend doesn't exist continuity-wise, if that's super important to you.
I think the reason people get so upset about that is because it was still in the era where people saw The Simpsons as like, it was a cartoon, but it wasn't a cartoon. So they're still treating these like
right.
actual people.
Right.
And so everybody still saw Skinner as an actual person. And they
totally.
Were like, what? Like, what? Like, and I can get that, but at the same time, I can also get where I think that was Ken Keeler was like, fam, like we were just kind of bored and we wanted to do something else.
Dude, but
which
it's also
is fair.
Like, I also think that it's a really cool character building episode for Skinner. Even though if it bothers you that he's not really Skinner as a person, it means that he chose to adopt this other person's life for the good of this like poor old woman who didn't want her son to be gone. Like I don't know, man. I think it's really good. I think it's really good, interesting stuff. And I know this is our patented Simpsons tangent for the episode, but yeah, man, I don't know. I rewatched that one literally last week and I quite enjoyed it. But it's also interesting. The first three also has like Lisa's saxophones. The third,
Lisa's sax
season,
is good. That's a holdover, I think.
I think it's like a double holdover because
it's Al Jean, right?
It's an Al Jean episode.
Yeah. Okay.
And and its production code is a 3. The rest of the season's production codes are 4s and 5s, except for one other 3. It's weird. That's a 3. Weird. Simpson is weird shit. Weird shit.
Oh, that's the first one that breaks the I think it's the first one. I think it's the first one that like breaks the timeline a little bit, because now Lisa would have had to have been born the year the show came out.
Right. In order for that story. And they started doing flashbacks, and they don't line up with the timeline anymore, because everything's shifting. It's a shifting timeline with the Simpsons. Mm. But it's also interesting. I like this episode has so much that I remember so vividly, like them doing the All in the Family parody. You know what I mean? Like it's the whole thing. That's the whole framing device of the episode.
Yeah. Michael Jackson still was black.
Those were the days.
Yeah.
That's right. I always had I had a burned copy of the Simpsons CD that was literally just like 60 tracks of songs from the Simpsons, and it was I would listen to that, and me and my brother and my dad would listen to it in his car for years. Like that was like so many of these episodes, so many of the Scully era songs are embedded in my brain, even though I haven't seen those episodes in 20 years. But like the songs are just like I know every word to every damn song in the Simpsons for the first 15 seasons or whatever. But yeah, I just watched The Cartridge Family, and I think it's pretty funny. Lisa the Skeptic is one of my, I think a genuinely excellent episode. Mm-hmm. I think there's some good stuff. I'm excited to keep going through the Scully era. There's good stuff in here. But let's go back to Archer. All right. We keep doing our tangents. We tried to end a tangent and then went on another tangent. And here we are. It's okay. So the last few things I want to say about Space Race, though, is cool space action. Really like it. Really like the cool space like gunfights and stuff. I think it's fun. I like Cyril constantly panicking and shooting stuff and just murdering people. Mm-hmm. Like I do like that, even though he's become a pretty effective and confident field agent, he's still got some Cyril in him, you know? Yeah.
I do kind of like favorite, even earlier on, that like Lana can't get it together and like she like falls and shit, like,
right,
like because of gravity. Like I did kind of like that stuff too.
Yeah, for sure. My favorite joke in maybe the whole show, I texted it to you, it's when they keep bringing up Animal Farm and Archer's just like, why would they have animals on here? Do you really think they have an animal farm up here? And they're like, oh my God, Archer, no. And he's like, well, and then they're like, Archer, it's a book. He goes, no, it's an allegorical novella about Stalinism by George Orwell. And spoiler alert, it sucks.
He knew
the whole time. What he was talking about. That's my favorite thing, is that sometimes Archer, like it just kind of establishes that sometimes Archer plays ignorant just to be an asshole. Yeah. and that is easily my favorite example of that in the whole show. That is a joke that I remembered that joke for years after the fact. I remembered almost nothing else about these episodes. and that was like that specific joke I've remembered for just years and years. It's such a good joke. Good shit.
One of my favorite jokes in this one is when Cyril like freaks out and he shoots everybody, and then they point out that like he shot the one person that could fix everything, and Archer says, "So like, you shot a black, you killed a black astronaut. That's like shooting a unicorn."
Oh man! And then, but the end does have that. Like I guess we talked about it a bit. The end has the great, like Archer can go be his normal Archer self and like do his bullshit with Barry and like try to fight Barry, even though he knows he can't. He knows he can't take Barry. He's just like, and he finally like shows some growth and is like, I'm not going to do it. I can't come out to play Barry is basically the like tone.
They act like children. They do. But it is it's a big moment for him, but it is, you're watching it and like they're playing it like they're like kids, and he's like, nah, I got to do my homework.
Yep.
Like my mom says no.
And then even like, him once when they're taking off excuse me, when they're taking off on the space shuttle, and they're like, and like Mallory kind of gives Cyril shit, and Archer's like, no, you're gonna do great Cyril, which is just not a thing you could ever imagine Archer the rest of the show doing, other than I guess in El Contador, but And then Cyril being like, just for that, I'll do you a favor. And he fucks up.
Yeah, he does that, which is really rad of him. It's good. Love that he does that.
It's a really great end to the season. I'm a big fan of how this ends. I think the space race episodes are really fun because I like the setting. I like the idea. They're a little lower on my ranking, even though, again, like we've said, this season is just so good that, like, I feel like the lower ranked episodes on this list would be higher on like some of the other season lists, you know, like it's just a really strong season of Archer. Yeah. But yeah, it's like, I love ending the season on last season. They ended on just like devastation for Archer. And this season they ended on like some actual legitimate growth. And that's, you know, something that's, I think, pretty cool to see three seasons into this show. Because we'd seen little pieces of it here and there in the first two seasons, more so season two. But like, this is the real season where you're like, oh, Archer's growing a little bit.
Right. Yeah.
And, you know, you can never expect Archer to not be Archer, but it's nice to see the growth.
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah. You got anything else about Space Race before we wrap it up?
Space Race. I think the last thing I have is, and it was just this, I only wrote this literally for me because we talked about this, I think maybe in the last one, not Heart of Archness, but in season two with Keeks, but like the so remember that joke where Krieger is talking to his wife, I guess, and he says you're your mother all over again.
Yeah,
right. So he said, he brings up her mother again, but it's not past tense. So I think that implies that her mother isn't the dead hologram.
Oh man, I wonder if they get into that anymore.
I don't know.
That's really interesting. Will we ever learn more about Krieger's weird virtual anime wives?
It's sick that I'm so invested in this that I keep taking notes about it, but whatever, who cares?
Oh god, Archer is, I mean, Krieger is such a fucked up character, but he's so funny. He makes me laugh a lot, but it's like, it's kind of that he is frightening. Like, that's, he's kind of a frightening character. Oh man. All right, do you want to do, you got any thoughts about season three as a whole? We can include Heart of Archness in here if we want before we go into our rankings.
I love this season. This is about, like we talked about, this is my favorite season of Archer that we watched so far. Yeah. All of these are great. There isn't a single one of these that I didn't like. I think the one at the bottom of my list would be middle to top of any of the other Archer lists that we've done so far. So,
hell like, yeah,
you know, all this stuff is really rad. They do, we talked about it a bunch. We had a lot more character based analysis this time around.
Yeah, which felt good.
Right? because that was the thing. That was the thing with season two. Like, it would just be like, yeah, no, I really like that they interact. And then it would kind of stop there. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, while those episodes were fun, there wasn't a lot of like, okay, so this is like what actually makes them tick. This is what they think about. This is how they feel about each other. And I think this season does a great job at doing a lot of that and giving you a lot of that. And also giving you like, I think it's the perfect balance, man. I think it's the perfect balance of like really fun stories like, I don't know, like Drift Problem. Like, there's really fun stories like that,
right?
That don't have that kind of stuff. And then like, there's other ones that do. And even something like Drift Problem actually does. Like, if you want to look for it, it's there. You know what I mean? Like, there is that stuff about like his childhood and everything like that. I think all of that is like, I think this is like literally the perfect balance.
It's so good
of those two things that it juggles. But yeah, I love the season. It's great.
I'm really curious because I feel like I remember season four feeling like a bit of a dip after season three in the comedy department. And then season five being Vice being like so revitalizing and fun. But I haven't seen them in years, and I also felt like I remembered season two being better than three, and I fucking loved three so much this time around. So I'm very excited to just sit down. I don't know if you remember
Rick and Morty too.
Right. True. True. Good point. It's been longer for me since I've watched Archer than Rick and Morty, but that is a good point. I agree with everything you said. This season is, I think, both the most interesting from character standpoints and the funniest. Like season two is maybe comparably funny, but like this one really balances the comedy and the character development and just has really great spy premises. Like, and bringing it like the, I mean, I'll throw in Heart of Archness when talking about this, the pirate king, like the pirate stuff is fun. Doing pirate stuff in a spy setting is cool. The space stuff is cool. The same season has Pirate King and space Mars terraforming story, you know? That's crazy.
And closes.
And Burt Reynolds.
And Burt Reynolds.
It's, I think at this point, this is my favorite season of Archer. We'll see how I feel going through the rest of it, but I'm really, I'm more excited than ever to watch through the rest of the show. And yeah, this is, I think this is just such a strong season of television. It's the one that's making me like stoked for more Archer. So that's exciting.
Right. I'm really interested to see what they're doing now, honestly. I mean, I don't want to jump
exactly
going in order, but
I'm going to make sure I watch the rest before before I skip up. But there's four seasons I've yet to watch, including the one that's on right now.
Right.
And two of them are themed. So like that will feel a little different.
Anybody listening, man, in the comments, don't tell us what they're doing, but let us know how it's going so far.
Just tell us vaguely. Do you like it?
Yeah, I think there's like three, but like, how's it going? how are they doing so far? I do really want to know, actually.
Because season 11 was them eliminate, like not doing the theme stuff anymore, getting back to the basics. So like, I'm curious how that is. And season 12, how's season 12? Let us know. Let us know. Do you want to do our rankings? Should we do the rankings?
Yeah, let's do it.
Did you throw Heart of Archness in there or no?
I didn't.
I'm going to take it out.
Cool.
I was just putting it as one instead of three, even though Space Race feels so separate that I put them as two different episodes.
I did put Space Race as two.
I did too. Okay. Starting from 10, Bloody Furlin. 9, Drift Problem. 8, Space Race Part 1. 7, Lo Scandalo. 6, Space Race Part 2. 5, The Limited. 4, Skin Game. 3, Crossing Over. 2, El Contador. And 1, The Man from Jupiter.
We have a lot of lineups. We do have a lot of lineups. Here we go. All right. 10, The Limited. 9, Drift Problem. 8, Space Race Part 1. 7, Space Race Part 2. 6, Blood Furlin. 5, Skin Game. 4, Lo Scandalo. 3, why do I keep fucking these up?
El Contador.
El Contador, there we go. See, I did not pass Spanish. 2, Crossing Over, and 1, The Man from Jupiter. We have the same fucking number one. Let's do
it. And our top three are the same in a slightly different order. That's pretty good.
Right,
That's great. I had a feeling, based on just the way we talked about it at the top of the episode, I had a feeling that we were both had The Man from Jupiter up there. It's such a good episode.
That episode. It's
so,
so
good. Oh, man. It's also one that just balances the funny and the like and the good character stuff that we were talking about. Like, I think that's kind of, it's what we were just talking about with the why the season works as a whole. And I think that's like the exceptional example of that. So
absolutely.
It's pretty cool. Pretty cool. Good season of Archer. Yep. I think if I had to throw Heart of Archness in there, it would probably go at 3 or 4. It would be up there pretty high.
It would be around the middle for me.
Word. Good stuff, man. Good stuff. I think this is a really good episode.
Yeah, I was nervous. Usually when we watch them so fast, I always feel like I suck on these, but this one was all right. It was a good time.
We did good. We did a good job. And I guess that's it. I guess we should, if you're watching this on YouTube, that means it's been 2 weeks. But if you're listening, Well, I guess it's also been 2 weeks if you're listening to this part, because this is the second half. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know how to talk about this stuff anymore. But keep an eye out for our Patreon, which we'll start plugging at the beginning and end of every episode, I think. But we're going to have the Patreon up within the next couple weeks for sure. And you'll be able to get an extra 2 episodes a month from us talking about movies that we want to talk about that aren't necessarily related to being Cartoons That Curse. But right. they're definitely movies we've been talking about a lot on here. We got a lot planned for that. I'm very excited. And it's going to be fun. And we hope you guys are excited for that, too. You got anything else before we go, Tariq?
Oh, man, look out for that Urkel musical. I think it's going to be rad.
Hell yeah. Do yourself a favor. Order some purple Urkel on your weed apps.
If you are in the area, highly recommend, even though I've never had it before. let's help Jaleel White out, I guess.
Hell yeah. All right. And with that, I want to thank our producer and editor, Michael Yunez, for producing and editing our podcast. I want to thank Carrie Feek for amazing artwork. I want to thank Jake Neutron for our incredible theme song. I want to thank Toonrific Tariq for being my friend and co-host. And I'll thank myself.
Because there you go.
I deserve some credit.
Oh, yeah, I know that's right.
and with that, thank you very much. Thanks for watching. We'll see you later.